Good afternoon. Today is Monday, December the 15th, 347th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is the bank dude, Mr. Dolby. It's a purpley kind of day.
Yes, I do have a purple tie on here, don't I? Yeah. And you're looking rather dapper yourself.
You like my blue tie?
Yes.
All right.
It looks like a Jerry Garcia tie.
Is it?
It is, indeed.
Okay, you can read upside down. I can't.
So always good to see your smiling face.
Thank you very much, sir. You too. So I probably will forget later on. Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to you.
I mean, you know, just my back timing skills tend to be rather weak. So my front timing skills now I'm working on. This afternoon we spent a little bit of time talking, what? You said millennials, so I'm thinking demographics. I'm thinking lifestyle. I'm thinking that kind of stuff, but that doesn't normally...
And I'm surprised you're thinking.
Good. Fine. Game on when we come back.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with John Dolby, but before we do, our quote this afternoon.
Brian, what's our quote today?
Would this be for the MacArthur quote, or would this be the Eisenhower quote?
Left.
MacArthur.
Mr. MacArthur. General Mr. MacArthur.
Sir, General MacArthur.
Never give an order that can't be obeyed.
You know, there's some common sense there.
Yeah, it's not often followed, but it is common sense. Yeah, it's, you know, I wonder often. Yeah, some of the different books and articles that talk about things like that, you know, whether it's in business or military, it's probably not that different. And obviously, by saying it, that means that a significant percentage of people don't. Don't pay attention. Don't make allowances so that somebody can actually get something done. They just say something and they'll wander off.
Well, in my many, many years of life and observation, I've noticed there's a lot of people that when they discuss, give orders, direction, or even communicate, do not give consideration to the listener, meaning what is the position of the listener? What is, you know, how are they going to receive this? What background they have in the topic, and will they be able to understand what you're talking about? You know, that can be very challenging to put yourself in somebody else's shoes. Same thing, like if you're speaking to a group, you need to understand the group. You need to watch them. And get an idea of, yeah, exactly. When they start to nod off, like people are now listening to me.
Yeah. Physical reactions.
Yeah, exactly. Twisting that dial and going to a good station. if you can look at the whole situation from the perspective of the listener, and in this case, MacArthur's talking about the person that you're giving orders to, can they actually go out and do what you're asking them to do? And that could be, do they have the authority to do it? Do they have the skill set to do it? Do they have the knowledge to do what you've asked them to do? And lastly, are they going to, if you're General MacArthur, are they going to return?
Probably the tools to do the job too would
exactly,
be helpful. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you watch that TV show, The Undercover Boss?
I have not.
I don't, but the concept just is wildly intriguing to me.
I thought about doing it, but since everybody knows me, it might be a little challenging.
I bet you could put a different hairstyle on your head. You know, if you went clean shaven and you dressed a little different. I bet you could
yeah,
be one of the branch offices.
I think at 6'5", I'm not gonna get away with that, but I appreciate it.
Oh, I see. So I can use the same lame excuse.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, you're not gonna make it. But it is an interesting concept to go and empathize with the people that ultimately work for you. And I think
the interaction point or the exchange point with the customer. If you're behind the bank teller station, they're probably going, nah, that couldn't be him. You know, if you had, let's say, blonde hair, curly locks, okay, they can kind of look at you if you're dressed, you know, differently. I bet you could learn some stuff, just like with me.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, learn some stuff, you know, hang out somewhere and just engage people in conversations about the biz. Yeah, but to find out what things really make sense or what they don't make sense.
Well, there's a principle there, and that is the people that are doing the work probably have the best perspective of what needs to be done to do it better.
To do their job out.
Exactly. Yeah. So when I'm talking to a teller about their job, you know, they know more about it than I do. Now, I can give them guiding principles of what I want to see overall regarding customer service, efficiency, so forth.
Customer, big,
right.
Bank,
big picture. Big picture. What is the goal here? But when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, they know more about what needs to be done than I do. So I should be doing the listening, not the talking.
We're trying to do the job.
Exactly.
I've often wondered some of the food folks, if the owner isn't in the back room, could they do the back room? Could they be a waiter or a waitress? Depending on, could they be buying the food if somebody mm-hmm. else has been the purveyor? That kind of stuff. What kind of dishwasher would they make?
Right, or like in your business, could they climb the tower and fix the antenna?
Well, that happens after the lobotomy.
How tall are those things, anyway?
The ones out here are 232 feet.
Holy smokes.
And yeah, you need the harness. Well, we could send Nick up.
Have you?
And he would be probably comfortable with it.
Have you ever climbed one of those?
No. No.
I think that would be a great fundraiser. What do you think?
I think yeah. The fall would outweigh
how many
any
people,
potential.
How many
benefit.
People would pay to see Brian climb that thing?
You know, I wonder if I think the biggest guy that I've seen might weigh 200 pounds. When you get up there, just the drag against the wind.
Really?
Oh, yeah, and then it starts, you know, compounding.
So you're not going up, what you're saying?
So it might be a really successful fundraiser.
Yeah.
Depending on what your goal is. Well, KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to talk millennials.
Millennials.
With somebody who hasn't seen a millennial or been a millennial at least for some couple of decades or so. What is the magic about youth?
Well, it's interesting because there's so much, you know, about the various generations. And so the study that I'm looking at was done by the Independent Community Bankers Association of America. Of course, they're looking at it from the perspective of banking and, you know, some of the generational differences. But they came up with some things that I thought were very interesting about millennials. So let's define them. How's that?
Well, I hope we find it interesting too,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, yes. That too. Ages are from 19 to 37. There is almost 80 million of them. So we're talking about a big demographic group. They get married and have their first child later than any other generation.
In history, right.
Most ethnically diverse group, generation. More college graduates than any other generation. They buy their first home later than any other generation. So they're significantly slower to do some of the things that we did, you know, as far as getting married, starting a family,
and all
of that.
It was described to me was a prolonged adolescence. You might be going to college where we were going, we got to get out, we got to get married, got to start the family, got to get the house, got to get maybe I'll travel for a couple of years. So that whole delayed with the house and family and marriage and, and no pressure, no panic.
And this is where it gets kind of interesting, and why they're so different is they came to age with the internet, mobile devices, and very attuned to social media. So a lot of their interaction is that way. And so it makes them significantly different than other generations prior to them, I guess.
It would be interesting, and I don't know if
that's a redundant statement.
That's okay. Yeah. I'll let it flow. There's a lot of redundancy around here. We prefer it that way. With a cell phone or the laptop, if you get an email or the phone goes, do you have to respond to it? And at what point do you panic or feel uncomfortable? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? Hour and a half? Apparently somewhere between 5 minutes and an hour and a half gets you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of us talk about, over the years, trying to become more time efficient, clustering. Cluster the return phone calls. Cluster this job function or whatever it might be so we can focus on it and get it done. I've never, ever in any kind of things associated with millennials have ever heard that concept be employed. If it buzzes, I got to look at it now. Doesn't matter, you're in the middle of dinner. Doesn't matter. Driving down the road. Doesn't matter. Et cetera, et cetera. And I'm wondering priorities and sensitivities. What are the differences for the millennials versus the Echo and the baby boomer generations? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of what you just mentioned, you know, does raise interesting concerns in the context of appropriate behavior as we know it. For instance, you know, if I walk into a store and ask a question, should I be the one standing there waiting while they answer the phone for the guy who wouldn't come down?
Right, right.
You know, and that's an interesting one. Well, now the same thing is happening in almost every context. You know, I'm sitting here having dinner with somebody and their phone buzzes or whatever. Next thing you know, they're answering a text. Well, what's more important? You know, the guy who's there having dinner with them or somebody who's not even there sending them in a message. So these are some interesting social challenges that we have.
Be sure you ask your spouse what they prefer before. We've had some interesting discussions because you don't know. I mean, I made a call to a buddy this morning, and he's a time zone. He's out of this time zone, and it happened to be in the middle of his lunch. He was so good time. Oh, we're just having lunch. I'm here with my wife.
Why did and you answer the phone?
Okay, Larry. Now you got to help me out here, man. Is this good or not? You know, so you truncate things to try to be polite because that's what you would want. It's an interesting, different dynamic going on.
Yeah, it is. Some other things that are very interesting from this study, and of course, this is a study based on trying to understand their banking behavior and so forth. But they are. Let's see, that's not the page I wanted. I thought this was interesting. Of course, I'm not going to find it now. They are more likely to have less than $5 in their pocket in currency.
In real money.
Which means they are dealing with debit cards and other means of payment. Now, with 80 million of them, and they're now emerging into their prime, this should tell merchants and people that are doing business with millennials that you need to be prepared to do so without cash currency.
Which is really interesting because now granted I'm not hanging out with a bunch of kids. Notice they're now kids instead of peers.
Yeah.
But with all the challenges with the the information breaks and all the stuff that's going on with cyber hacking and whatnot going the other way and writing checks and forgetting about a credit card, using currency instead of an ATM card because you don't want to leave that footprint. KINS, News and Information Time, is 3:30.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. Juan790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the bank dude from Redwood Capital, John Dalby. Communication is challenging. Communication across the generations more so. Particularly when they tend to be the age of your kids. I think we learned how it's not going to be that efficient. And you try to overcome. Were there any skill sets that were discussed, John, with trying to talk to the millennials that are tips, tricks, short blast of information, long ones, pictures versus written word? I don't even know. I guess the most basic is what type of attention span are you looking at? Or did they get to that kind of level of
no, they did in this detail. Particular study they didn't. I'm sure that's those studies have been done, you know. And as we discussed during the break, the millennial generation reads more than any other generation, but they don't read books or, you know, from cover to cover. They're reading text messages, blogs, snippets, so they're grasping a lot of disoriented, not oriented to each other, but
just disconnected.
Exactly. Messages constantly bombarded with the little facts and so forth, as opposed to our generation who tends to pick up a book and read it from cover to cover and have an organized communication regarding either fiction or nonfiction and lay out a conclusion, where they're being bombarded with various facts and so forth, rather than a continuous message, and therefore will have a different thought process. What that's going to be, I don't know, but it will change the way you think.
Well, even in the video industry, you know, if you had a movie, okay, it flows from the start to the finish, and he's hopefully a thread of continuity instead of a series of unrelated photograph stills.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if the efficiency of communication is better now with all the technology, or if it was better before without so much of the technology.
Well, I think there's more communication now than there was prior. You know, when I was a kid, you know, that long ago, you know, when I went to, you know, soccer practice or basketball practice after school.
Soccer practice?
Yeah, I did play soccer.
You did?
Yeah. Soccer, ooh, football, I did everything. But anyway, you'd have to talk to your mom, you know, in the morning and say, I need to be picked up at such and such a time. And because there was no phone to call, there was no
or
way
the
to...
the coach's phone in the office.
Right, yeah. But most of the time, if your mom wasn't home, you know, or just going to pick you up after going somewhere, you know, there's no way to get a hold of them until they got home. So there were times where you didn't get picked up. Or you forgot to tell them in the morning, or, you know, something went wrong and there was not much you could do other than sit and wait.
Suck it up, big boy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so where now, you know, you can bombard them with text messages and emails and so forth. So it does change the way we communicate, better or worse. You know, this technology is here, and I doubt it's going to go away.
One of the things I find intriguing, and I don't know if the study was talking about it, was the accuracy of the information. We used to have the old tin cans cut with the string between, and you know, the gossip lines, and then but that was one-on-one. You couldn't really purposefully or unintentionally share inaccurate information broadly disseminated. Now, game on.
Yeah, who knows what was being written? And bloggers can write anything they want, and it's
and it's out there.
And I've had, you know, I've had bloggers write stuff about our institution, which is absolutely untrue. I mean, there's nothing close to being true about what they're saying. But what do you do? If you start to argue with them, it just, it's going to set off a whole dialogue, and so you just, you, you know, you just roll.
For me, I don't
ignore it.
I don't.
Yeah.
Period. I don't. But I know that that is another form of communication that the younger folks use. And it's just kind of an intriguing concept, trying to see or to anticipate. And then as we move into the next form or evolution of the internet, are they going to be the early adopters? Adapters, sorry. Or are they going to feel comfortable where they are and get left behind by the next wave of what's going on?
Who knows? Now, there are a couple other things that came out of this study that I do want to share with you real quickly. One is millennials is the generation that's most interested in their personal finances. So they do have an extreme interest in how they're going to retire, how they're going to do things. And so,
money
in general. And so there's a true interest in there that, you know, if you're selling wealth management services or whatever, you know, millennials are going to be very, very interested in what you have to say. And they're more likely to seek help in navigating their finances. So that's, I thought that was rather interesting. And here was a question that was proposed. Would they rather meet the president of a local bank who just approved their loan to start up their own dream business, or the president of the United States? The majority picked the local banker, which I thought was interesting because they have a very entrepreneurial spirit. The vast majority of millennials have a strong interest in starting their own business.
Which would be really interesting to drill down on that one. Because of the entrepreneurial spirit, because of dissatisfaction of what's out there, potential, why?
This doesn't address it, but so this is purely speculation on my part, and that is that they want to have more control financially of their destiny than if you work for somebody. If you work for somebody, they're really controlling your destiny, because at any point in time, your career or your job can end. But if you running your own business, you have that kind of control.
Well, same thing.
Yeah. I just fired myself.
They just don't see that part. Yeah. It would be intriguing to find out what the root cause was behind that, if it was driven by finance or if it was driven by freedom. Flexibility. I mean, that's one of the things I know, talking to folks in their 30s that are business folks, is that they wanted to accept the risk and the potential for the reward. You know, let me make it or break it myself, rather than being associated, go down with the ship kind of thing. But much more of an entrepreneurial spirit. That's interesting.
Here's the statistic. 62% said they would like to be in the position to start their new business within the next 24 months. Now, that would be exclusive those who have already started their own business. So there's a very strong interest in that generation to go into business for themselves, to control their destiny, and they want to know about their personal finances. They're also very tech savvy, and so they like to have things like, you know, for in our industry, mobile banking. You know, now you can take your phone, take a picture of your check, and deposit it.
Now, there was a great thing this morning. I don't remember the program. It was in the 6 o'clock hour. I think it may have been Commando. And she said something about all this information stored on your phone, right? And you go and you zap it, and you lose your phone. All your information is on that phone.
Unless you backed it up.
But still there on the phone, though. Yeah. Right. And she was questioning the wiseness of that. You know, it has your social security number on it. It has your banking information on it. It has all this stuff. You know, and with the people being able to get access to these things and figure out what your security code is it wise to have everything on one phone?
Yeah.
That's a whole different question than what we would have ever thought of 5 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. And you need to be able to wipe it remotely where you can. There actually is a program where you can go in on your computer and wipe your phone and it will tell it to.
Oh, I was thinking of clean it.
Yeah, yeah, no. Yeah. Wipe the internal stuff, not the external stuff. Yeah.
KINS tells you where I am. KINS News and Information Times 345. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 349. John, if somebody wants to find out more information about millennials, about demographics and different cohort groups and things of that nature, is there a site that you would refer them to?
Well, I'm using the one from the American Community Bankers Association. Of course, it was designed for our industry, so it's all slanted for that. But other than that, there's so much information on the web that you won't have any problem finding it.
Got a great quote. The accuracies of some of the information found on the internet may not be 100%. Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by. Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to you.
We've been Talking Shop with John Dalby. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.